You are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee, 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally. Also, CreamCityMedia.com/anti is where all the archives of this show can be found. Again, I am your host, NTSC, and welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and a lot more. If we are against so very much, what do we stand for? The ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore, or try to explore, what a free society might look like, while recognizing the sad fact that none of us today are truly free. As ever, WXRW River West Radio needs your help. Times are more and more difficult for nonprofits, and especially so for small nonprofits like us, local nonprofits who engage to educate and activate the at-risk and the disenfranchised. If you would like to help us out, you can donate today. You can do so online. You can join our Patreon campaign. You can visit the station in person at 824 East Center Street and buy some gear, and then of course wear and use that gear so it's not just a useless thing among the 300,000 useless things in your home taking up space. Or better yet, if you represent a local entity or business of some kind, please reach out and become an official underwriter. You can support us, and in so doing, we will make sure that everybody knows about you and the good work that you're doing in the community. Okay, we're going to be riffing again today. Man, I'll tell you, time gets away from us all, doesn't it? We talked about that. We've talked about that a few times now, in various episodes. Probably most notably very early in the show, episode 4, we talk about time and the tyranny of the clock. We probably talk about a little bit in episode 16, and if you're interested in seeing more of those episodes or listening to them, they're all available at creamcitymedia.com/anti. So we've talked about that. Well, time has gotten away from me this whole month. So many things have happened, and I think I alluded to some of those things, but it just, man, 2019, oh, it just keeps heaping stuff on the pile. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare for this week's episode, by way of research and actually organizing my thoughts. So we're going to riff a little bit about two topics today. They're going to be responsibility and fault. So I really like the community in which I live and work. I daily get to meet with and work with really, really great people who have incredibly generous hearts, very giving spirits, who are creative, who are passionate. And I'm very fortunate to have whatever small part I have in this community. And in some of the discussions that I've taken part in here on River West Radio over the years, the topic of responsibility has come up more than once. What do I mean by responsibility? Responsibility for what? Well, responsibility for the kind of current situation under which we are all struggling. The climate crisis, for example, is one that's really easy to point to. Corporations and businesses and governments, everybody in power, essentially, anybody who has, you know, a real grip on the systems of power in this culture, they want us, the workers, the consumers, to take responsibility for that through our personal choices and our personal actions. What are some examples of that? Sometimes I'll go on the morning show with Martin and Joe and Vince, and this topic will come up. And I'm sorry to call you out by name, Vince, but this will be complimentary, I promise. I don't think Vince listens to this show anyway, so I don't have much to fear in this regard. I can probably badmouth Vince all day if I wanted to. That's not the point of this program. Not going to do that. Vincent, okay. You do a good job of mitigating your personal impact on the environment. And actually, I know a lot of people who do so. My aunt does an incredible job. She really prides herself on only taking a bag of garbage, you know, like actual waste, to her garbage can like once every 2 months or something. The amount of actual waste her lifestyle produces is incredibly small, admirably small. You know, and maybe if the whole world did have the means by which to reduce their output of waste so severely, we might actually make a dent in the climate crisis. Well, I hesitate to make a claim so bold, but she really prides herself on that. And Vince, I know you also pride yourself on how small your footprint is. You walk just about everywhere when you can. You live within your means, quote unquote, all that kind of stuff. And you pride yourself on that. And there have been times I have to take you to task a little bit here. There have been times when you have alluded to holding the opinion that if everybody just did that, the world would be a better place. And I fell into that trap, boy, just less than a minute ago. And it really is a trap. The possibility of that is so, it's sinister in a way. And the corporations, with their advertising dollars, have pushed the message that if all of us consumers just continue to make green choices, if we choose to put our money behind green companies, sustainable companies, organic produce, all that kind of stuff, that we'll be doing our part. Because our part as consumers is not to take action to change the system. No, our part as consumers is to make choices in a market setting, and those choices, voting with your wallet, as it were, will change the world. Well, that's a falsehood. That's not actually the case. Responsibility for the climate crisis, which is truly the most important topic that everyone should be talking about all the time, responsibility for that has been shunted off. It's, you know, the buck has been passed down to us, the consumer. It's all our fault. In past episodes here, let's see if I can find any of them. No, I'm not going to be able to find it. There's lots of them. There's 53 episodes now. In past episodes, we've talked about the Carbon Majors Report, which points out very clearly that somewhere around 70 companies, it used to be 200, then it used to be 100. That number has dropped now to 70. 70 companies make up something like 80% of all carbon emissions in the entire world. I'm sorry, there's 54 episodes. Not important. Back to the Carbon Majors Report. Your personal choices are such a tiny drop in that bucket that they are largely, you know, infinitesimally additive to the overall effects of carbon in the environment. Now, let's go to topical news to pinpoint this even further. If you recall, however many episodes ago, we talked a little bit about, oh yeah, in fact, here, I can find this one. It was Fascism Part 2, which was episode 23. That's a long time ago now. That was when Jair Bolsonaro was first elected president of Brazil. And because he is a fascist, we talked about that in that episode. And we talked specifically about deforestation of the Brazilian rainforest. At the time of recording, which was a long time ago now, the current rates at that time of deforestation of the Brazilian rainforest amounted essentially to, I should say that the environmental impact, the negative environmental impact of the logging and the deforestation of the Brazilian rainforest amounted to more climate damage than every single vehicle on every single road in the entire world combined. So if we were to remove every single vehicle from every single road in every country over the whole globe, we would not do as much good for the planet as we would if we just stopped deforesting the rainforests, the Amazon in particular. That's such an incredible thing to know. So that was, God, that was months and months and months ago that I did that episode. So now here we are in the present day, and the Amazon is burning swaths of it every single minute of every day, just gone. And Bolsonaro made it very clear when he was elected that he had every intention of selling the rainforest. And well, he's done so quite handsomely. So I made a prediction back then when he was first elected that the deforestation of the rainforests would get worse and situation would not improve. And well, I'm sad to say that here I am proven right. And it wasn't a dangerous bet to take, because again, he's as good as his word. We took him at face value and we were right to do so. So that is not a consumer choice. Real quick, why in particular is the rainforest being burned here in the present day? For soybeans, so that they can grow a giant monoculture. And what's even more ironic is that it's going to displace the soy industry here in the States, which I'm not a huge fan of, obviously. It's a horrible monoculture that has incredible negative detriment to the environment as a whole, and all the wildlife and genetic and species diversity and all that. But anyway, yeah, they're destroying one of the most important ecological defenses we have against climate change, so they can grow soybeans. Your personal choices of whether or not you use a straw in the morning does not make a dent in comparison to enormous systemic structural problems like that. And that's part of the theme of today's kind of miniature rant. When I was waking up this morning, I thought I might make a social media post that was nothing more than as many characters as I could use saying, our problems are systemic. Our problems are systemic. Our problems are systemic. Our problems are systemic. Because whether or not I use a single-use plastic to stir my latte in the morning, me being the royal we, that is not going to address the systemic structural problems that are creating all of the issues that we are facing in our modern era. And these issues have they've existed for a long time, and they're very entrenched. They're embedded in our society, in our social structures, in our expectations for our lives, all of it. So that's why I wanted to talk a little bit today about responsibility. Who is to take responsibility? And the other topic that I wanted to touch on is what we'll say fault. Who is at fault? Who is to blame? Because a lot of people who tout the invisible hand of the market, economists and capitalists and etc., they would like to put the fault, they'd like to put the blame along with the responsibility on consumers, because they like to say that if there was not a demand, there would not be a supply. Well, not exactly. So, for example, a company tries to come up with something to create a profit, right? To earn a profit. What can they do? Well, they're going to design a product or service. Maybe not put anything into R&D. So maybe they're just going to look at a product that already exists and maybe they'll try to make it cheaper, you know, in the guise of improving upon it. I admit I'm not a good capitalist, so I don't exactly understand the mental process that goes into that. But suffice it to say, demand really more often than not is not the thing that's actually driving the creation of products and services. Products and services seem sometimes to just emerge as if out of the ether. And they have no niche to attend to, and they have no problem to solve. And sometimes it seems like they're creating problems. And the more problems it can create, and the more problems that it can sustain, and the more problems it can maintain, the more profit can be gleaned from trying to, you know, quote unquote, solve those problems that it itself generated. What's an example of this? Well, public transit has been on people's lips lately because there was a video that was going around online. So we'll go back to Vince and the fact that you like to walk everywhere. Martin also walks everywhere. And to be fair, owning and operating a vehicle is very expensive. For a lot of people, it is prohibitively so. So their footprint is a little more green, not necessarily out of personal choice, but just because they're too poor to own a car. But anyway, public transit has been under attack in this country for many, many decades now. Why? Well, because vested interests with lots and lots of money would prefer to keep as many cars on the road as possible. Companies that have vested interests in asphalt, companies that have vested interest in automobiles and rubber and tires and gasoline and all of the minutiae that go into this behemoth complex that absolutely rules the landscape of our modern world. Walk outside. Our world is dominated entirely by automobiles and by the infrastructure required to get those automobiles from point A to point B. And the maintenance of the superiority of automobiles as a form of transportation has transformed the landscape of our country and our world. Asphalt everywhere, concrete everywhere, less and less green space. Obviously, all of the carbon emissions from all of these vehicles, to say nothing of the fact that they give off heat, they give off chemicals, they give off particulate. They leak and seep chemicals and oils and plastics and rubbers into our groundwater that then gets perpetuated throughout the system and it goes into the water table. Cars are terrible, and the infrastructure to maintain the movement of cars is equally terrible and destructive to the entire world. And our health. Don't forget, a few episodes ago, we talked about how 13% of all new cases of diabetes globally can be attributed directly to car exhaust, which is terrifying. So anyway, this infrastructure is being maintained by powers that be that have vested interest in maintaining it. And they have been attacking things like public transit and very vociferously and very intentionally. So even though it feels really good to not use a car, many, many people still need to. In fact, I would say the majority of people need to own a car for so many reasons. Because, for example, they live in a food desert where walking to get nutritious actual sustenance is not an option, because it's just not within walking distance, or because their work is far away from their place of residence, which is also more common. In fact, there are more and more businesses that require you to own a car, and it's not legal for them to do so, but labor law does not actually defend the rights of workers for so many reasons. We've talked about that in the past too, and we'll talk about it more. But anyway, whose fault is it that the world, the landscape, our modern era makes us so dependent on vehicles and makes them the most important, crucial aspect of all of our infrastructure? It's all roads and bridges and freeways and parking lots and parking structures. That's not your fault. That is the fault of companies and governments who maintain the status quo and are reaping incredible profits and benefits from all of the various organizations and institutions that are surrounding the institution of the automobile, trucking, shipping, getting us from point A to point B. That's not your fault. There are people who are at fault. The Kochs, for example, are at fault. Scott Walker was at fault, for example, denying light rail here in Milwaukee, for denying expansion of the public transit system here in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a poster child example of just how much public transit has been attacked and destroyed and weakened, and very purposefully so, as the video that we probably all watched pointed out. However, there is something that that video failed to mention, and I don't know if it was because of lack of time or if they didn't say it on purpose. And that is, of course, the connection between the automobile industry and the entire infrastructure of automobiles as they have transformed our environment. And that is the climate impact. I've said it before, I think, here on a few episodes, that any municipality that is seriously considering climate change as a crisis, or who are going to take climate change seriously, any municipality would instantaneously make public transportation as efficient and fast and safe and freely available as possible. They would make it free to everybody to get as many cars off the road as quickly as possible. But that would require some sort of transformation of our infrastructure, and it would require a transformation of what we expect transportation to be and what we expect of our municipalities. And it would also require recognizing the simple fact that the vested interests in the status quo have nobody's best interests at heart but their own. And they're always going to be looking to make a quick buck. So it's not your fault. And that's just one example. The responsibility does not lay on your shoulders for climate change. The responsibility for all of the pernicious, you know, structural violence that affects all of us, it's not your fault. It's not your responsibility. Now, that's not to say that we are completely without responsibility. We have a responsibility. We have a duty, a solemn, incredibly important duty. I would go so far, I would dare to say a holy duty at this point. And I'm an agnostic, so I don't toss around that terminology really lightly. We have a duty, and it's as the working class. So let's talk about you real quick, listener. Do you own the means of production? You know what the means of production are by now, probably, maybe not. The means of production are the store, the factory, the stuff that makes the stuff. You know, you don't own it. You probably don't own it. You're not listening to this show if you own the means of production. So if you don't, if your relationship to the means of production are you do not own it, and instead you rent your body and your labor to an employer so that you don't die, that means you are part of the working class. And that's a good thing. Being part of the working class is puts you in a proud and powerful position. Here is your responsibility as part of the working class. If you want to take seriously the not so existential anymore crisis of climate change, if you would like to take seriously the threats of structural violence which endanger you and your loved ones every single day, a small list of those being homelessness, starvation, threat of disease from lack of health care, the risk of all kinds of disease based entirely on the terrible diet and the farming practices that have been thrust upon us without our consent and without any input from us. That structural violence, those forms of structural violence, endanger you and your loved ones every single day. And they're killing us. They are killing us in vast, incredible droves. To learn more about all of that stuff, you can go to episode 18 called FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. Go to creamcitymedia.com/anti, and I go through a great little list of all the things endangering you. Anyway, if you want to take all of that seriously, and if you want to take seriously the cause of emancipation, then you do have a holy duty. Your responsibility is to organize. Your responsibility is to get together with other members of the working class, your class, my class, which is, in no uncertain terms, in opposition to the capitalist owner class. I'm really sorry, guys, that I keep having to say it, but it absolutely bears repeating. You are engaged in a class war. For the last 200 years, we've been losing terrifically. Just really, really badly. There was a brief moment in history where we started to gain real grounds. And then World War I swept in and did away with most of those gains. World War II, almost ironically enough, or the onset of World War II, would get us close again to where we needed to be. But then the powers that be learned the techniques necessary to kind of quell the upsurge of popular power. But ever since the crash of 2008, slowly but surely, we've been remobilizing. We've been growing our numbers. So here's your responsibility as we close out this week's episode. It is incumbent upon you to organize with me, to organize with your friends, to organize with your family. It is crucial that we really start doing the work of gaining popular power, not political power. Oh my, please stop putting your faith in politicians, no matter how much they call themselves, you know, a progressive, no matter how much they say they have your best interests at heart. They might actually give a damn. I don't care. They don't have the power. You and I have the real power that we need very desperately to direct towards fixing these problems. And the only way we're going to fix them is by organizing together. What does that look like? It looks like so many things. You can join the IWW if you want to take a direct action approach in your place of work and other people's places of work. You can join Extinction Rebellion. You can join Earth Strike. You can join any solidarity union. Anything. Just please don't do nothing. Don't sit back on your phone and tweet angrily and expect a politician to swoop in and save you. It's not going to happen. It is our combined holy responsibility to take this horrible mess that is not our fault and try and fix it with our own hands and by taking direct action against the pernicious forces of manipulation, exploitation, and coercion to lift each other up out of these forms of structural violence. Thank you so much for listening to The Anti. I'll be back again next week to talk about our incredible shared potential and maybe one of these days reaching emancipation. I don't know what we'll talk about next week. I'll try and do some more research and actually have a better episode than this. But long story short, it's not your fault. But fixing it, sadly, is our responsibility because no one else is going to do it.